Hi there, I'm Meg, and welcome to our first episode within this series, where we will look into the two paintings and their relevance. I aim to break down these infamous images and the people responsible for them. Today, we're going to talk about our first painter, Hieronymus Bosch, and provide a little context into his life and how this may have influenced his painting, The Garden of Earthly Delights, which depicts three images: the Garden of Eden, the Garden of Earthly Delights, and Hell. The artist was born Jeroen van Aken, or Hieronymus van Aken. The sources aren't quite clear on that one. He grew up in the city of Sehertenbosch, which is now a part of the Netherlands. His childhood location also went to inspire his name change once he was older. Very little is known about his upbringing, but we know that he was born into an artistic family, with a lot of his older male influences being painters, and that he married a woman named Alait Goyotz den Mervien at some point in 1480 or 81. We also know very little about his wife's life, but we do know that she descended from wealth, allowing her husband to live comfortably throughout his career. The artist lived and painted before the Dutch Golden Age, with some of his work even being considered a window into society before this time. Some people even believe his work plays a big part in the Golden Age itself, despite being created before the start of the period. Bosch himself was born at a prevalent time in Netherlands history. In the 13th century, the country saw great floods, creating new lakes and water systems, many of which we know today. This did, however, have a detrimental effect on farming and livelihood outside of the large cities. Many farms actually adapted by turning their practice away from crops and towards dairy, which would have been easier to produce due to the ruined lands and altering their agriculture. This meant by the time Bosch was grown, the towns and cities were rising in numbers because fewer hands were required for farm work. By the 1500s, around half the country's population lived in towns instead of out in the countryside. This would have been something Bosch was aware of and might have actually affected his lifestyle and career, although not much is known about his early life. Bosch also never lived to see the joining of the independent states he knew, now known as the Netherlands, which occurred in 1548, 32 years after his death. One thing we do know about Bosch's upbringing is that his hometown burnt down at some point throughout his childhood, and that could have had a large impact on his work, and he could have incorporated that traumatic experience into his work, possibly through his idea of hell and suffering. The majority of known paintings by Bosch, which survive to modern day, fall under a religious theme, especially the one we are focusing on during this series. Religion was such an important aspect of 15th and 16th century life, and arguably the idea of God and sin actually controlled most of society. That could be applied to the world, but especially for Bosch, as Catholicism dominated Dutch religion for many years, until Calvinism was introduced a little bit later on in his life, which can be blamed on the Protestant Reformation, which occurred two decades later. When researching the religious climate at this time, there is very few sources available discussing the Netherlands specifically, but we can assume that the effect of religion is similar to the rest of the Western world, and therefore the following information is from English sources primarily. One of the main things that immediately stood out to me when first encountering this painting, besides from its beautiful colours and magnificent size, was its structure. The painting consists of three sections. The two outer panels can be closed, which sort of reminds me of like all window shutters. The image present on the closed painting is very different from the one within, and is said to represent the third day of creation, which comes from the Christian Holy Bible. It's a big contrast to the bright and busy painting within, as it is dark and looks to resemble a white and grey sphere with the beginning of earth inside it. It's a little bit difficult to explain, but the sphere also happens to be transparent. It makes sense to me to have the first day of earth depicted due to the biblical symbolism which is found within. I think it's interesting because despite about hearing this painting before, I wasn't actually aware of the exterior of the painting until I started researching for this project, and therefore had already seen the main painting. I can, however, understand that if you saw the painting closed first, it would make the image inside appear that much greater. God also features on the closed panels in the top right corner. He appears just as an ordinary man with a beard, although his hands appear to be raised, which indicates he is speaking or about to start speaking. It is believed he is actually speaking the words inscripted on the top of the closed panels, which translates to, "For he spoke and it was done, for he commanded and it stood fast." And this verse can be found in the Bible. This is meant to serve as an explanation for the inside of the painting, as if it's given a bird's eye view. Once opened, you are introduced to the three panels within. This kind of artwork is referred to as a triptych, and usually displays one picture of importance in the middle and is supported by two images each side. For example, Christ would be displayed in the centre, with disciples being supported on the left and on the right of him. This painting, however, has three panels of equal importance, which makes it different from any other famous Renaissance triptych. It's described as a busy painting with lots happening. The scene presented before us could be described as chaotic and random. However, it is said that Bosch planned each aspect of this painting with important meaning of each section. Now, there's a little bit of confusion over this next part because I've seen different people discuss the idea of like linear structures differently. Upon first inspection, I personally noticed that the painting seemed to have an ongoing line that makes its way across all three panels, almost connecting them and making all three images line up. However, others have said that this painting breaks away from paintings like The Last Supper, which depicts Jesus Christ eating a meal with his disciples before being handed over to the Roman army and crucified. That painting has a very clear straight line across its canvas. It has, however, been argued that our painting actually does follow that structure exactly. Upon more research, I favoured this linear idea as the painting actually can be pinned to a focal point that lies dead centre, at an egg. You can then find straight lines aligning everywhere from this point. It gave me an entire new insight into how I actually dissected this painting. There is also a continuous theme throughout the individual layers, as towards the bottom of the centre, across all three segments, there is water, and towards the top and across that ongoing line, there are towers, peaks, or some sort of mountain range. There is also an important focal point in each panel, as well as the paintings as a whole. To me, the painting appears to just be a series of lines running throughout. I even tried to count how many, but feel free to try and see how many lines you can find yourself coming from that centre focal point. Bosch applied his oil paint thickly, as if purposely leaving texture to his paintings. There is an ongoing theme of nudity and sex within this painting, and I think it's important to look at these scenes as one would have back in the day when it was created. Sex itself was described as a fall from grace, and was far from how we view it today. His work is seen as religious propaganda, and its overall purpose being viewed as a warning for sinners, and creating the idea of fearing hell and awaiting punishments for your unholy behaviour. This painting seems to be all about sin and judgment. The switch from the 15th and 16th century appears to see art get darker and a lot more condemning. We also know that Bosch was a devout Catholic, and as mentioned prior, his involvement in the Brotherhood of Our Blessed Lady proves this. His church, St. James Cathedral, is said to host many Gothic depictions, possibly influencing Bosch's own devilish paintings, as the statues and imagery within the cathedral spark similarities between the two. It is possible that much of the architecture found within this painting is similar to that found within the church grounds also. I feel like I grew up with quite a basic knowledge to Christianity and like other religious influence, but it wasn't until researching Bosch and his work that I found out the idea of hell that most people have in their minds derives from medieval art as opposed to the Bible itself, where I would assume it would have come from. Many great religious figures throughout history have argued about the existence of certain aspects of the Christian afterlife, some choosing to not believe in hell at all and claiming to find little evidence to its existence referenced within the Bible itself. However, Bosch and the people who lived at the same time as him were firm believers in this idea of heaven and hell, and it can be assumed that as a collective, their idea of such places could also be very similar. Demons and witches were also believed to be real, with people going as far as to be punished for being in line with the devil, or even Satan himself. Okay, now it's time to dive into talking about the painting itself, The Garden of Earthly Delights by Hieronymus Bosch. Hopefully, the last part gave you a little insight into the artist and the time period, so we can now apply that to his work. Sometimes known as the joining of Adam and Eve, the first panel is said to be the Garden of Eden, and the moment Eve is presented to Adam by God. There is also a theory that Bosch didn't intend for this figure to be God at all, but to be Jesus. Despite the timing not being right, as at this stage in the Bible, Jesus as a literal being didn't yet exist. Anyway, this is who the three figures who stand bottom centre within this panel are said to represent. The image of God is untraditional in Bosch's depiction and looks nothing like the image of God on the front of the triptych when it's closed. To me, this says that God's human form was altered once present on earth with the two humans. We actually know that the more traditional image of God, an old man with a beard, was what the artist had originally intended, as through certain technology it shows that a different figure sits under the one that we see today. This moment is a blessing on the couple and seen as encouragement from God to have sex that results in the children meant to populate the new earth. The original story of Adam and Eve mentions no type of marriage or union, but this image looks to resemble just that. It mirrors the likeness of a modern but traditional wedding. The perfume of sex and lust is also quite apparent from the painting. Adam is painted to be blushing, whereas the other two figures feature no redness to their cheeks, suggesting this was a purposeful choice. It is also accompanied by a smile, which when you follow his eyes, it lands on Eve's nude figure. Her eyes, however, are looking down, creating an innocent persona for the girl. But it's God's eyes and where he seems to be looking that are what interests me the most in this panel, as he seems to be looking directly at the audience for the painting. He's looking at us. almost as if making us complicit in the events yet to unfold. The positioning of these people is also important, as throughout art and media, we are told that being placed on the right is a good sign and is reserved for those who are worthy. Like Bosch is trying to segregate the good, which is Adam, and the bad, which is Eve. The rabbits situated beside Eve's feet symbolise fertility and highlight the importance of her job as a woman to be a vessel for mankind. Besides Adam's is a cat with rodent in its mouth. Cats are also domestic and loyal animals, similar to how Adam is to God. Adam's feet also mimic those of Jesus Christ through his crucifixion and could possibly be a nod towards the sin in which he would be punished for. To the left of Adam appears to be the tree of life, which is a dragon's blood tree. When this tree is cut, it seeps a red liquid, as if it bleeds. The tree is also covered in grapes, which are a link to the blood of Christ. At this point, Bosch would have been very uneducated on many of the plants and animals that we know today, meaning Bosch had to copy a lot of his images from available media around him. It is believed that the Tree of Life is actually copied from the Nuremberg Chronicles, a famous illustrated book which Bosch will have encountered. All three trees featured within this painting can be seen within images of that book. This first panel to me looks the most peaceful out of all three, with promises of God's ideal world, but after closer inspection you can see there is already an element of judgment scattered within. For example, the presence of the owl within the pink structure would have cast a menacing shadow for a medieval audience. Even though today we see the owl as wise and strong, it had slightly different connotations back then, and many said it could even represent the devil himself. There's also a theme of amphibians and reptiles making their way out of the water. I think a lot of the time, animals can be used as space fillers within medieval art due to the high amount of details on these usually giant images. I do, however, think these creatures do resemble some important symbolism for the painting, due to them exiting the water, which is said to represent love and sex. Reptiles do usually have negative connotations in the Bible, for example, the snake in the story of Adam and Eve, which this panel has many similarities to. Speaking of the Garden of Eden, the point in which this painting gained its recognition was a very interesting time in history. New things were being discovered and invented daily, but the infamous garden had not yet been located, leaving many to question its existence at all. We do, however, know that Bosch chose to paint it within this triptych, but are unsure to what extent he believed in it. The mountain range, which runs along the backdrop of the first panel, is accompanied by what appears to be a stone man-made structure, but also could be a natural cave. It is uncertain due to the wacky nature of the other items and animals present. The birds fleeing from it are said to be martins or swallows, and could foreshadow the disruption which is about to come, as the garden is supposed to be the heaven on earth, but a lot of the animals, especially the birds, seem to be sporadic and far from peaceful. Across the painting, there also seems to be reoccurring owls. There are six in total, and range from the smaller ones in the first two panels, until the large one within its last, representing the Prince of Hell. And despite our own interpretation of the animal, we can only assume that its presence is not a positive thing within the painting. To the right is a rock structure which resembles a face. Its expression is made up of creatures. This is said to be Golgotha, and is an actual place just outside of Jerusalem, which is said to be the site where Jesus Christ was crucified, and the skull is also believed to belong to Adam. I think it's interesting how Bosch opts to allow so much evil and negativity into his Garden of Eden. It includes a lot of foreshadowing of the suffering that follows the events of Adam and Eve, despite the Bible's description of paradise. Even for Bosch's times, his paintings couldn't be described as usual, with a lot of his work being described as fantasy pieces or being quite out there. His work definitely stemmed from his imagination, but kept in line with the traditional biblical stories and preaching we are used to. For me, it nicely meets in the middle between familiarity and something new and unseen before. Thank you for joining me in talking about the first panel and the introduction to the painting, The Garden of Earthly Delights by Hieronymus Bosch.